Deuteronomy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. Paul writes, "In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes, and some for disposal of refuse. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work." I love taking weddings. It's one of the many good things about being a vicar. You know, it's meeting the bride at the door and enjoying how different she is than the jeans of the previous day when we're rushing around with flowers and things like that. These days, I find myself doing more memorial services than weddings, which is a slightly depressing stage of life to have got to. So a wedding is now a particular enjoyment. And last Saturday, we had a wedding here of people who work in this area and come here on Tuesdays. And it was fantastic. The church was looking spectacular. Also, I got an insight. They had no flowers because I said, "This is such a wonderful church. You don't really need flowers. You prefer to have them at the reception." I'd left it like that. By the time we got to the rehearsal, there were candles in jars and rose petals all the way down the aisle. It was absolutely spectacular. Marvellous moment when the groom said to the bride in the rehearsal, "Where have these come from? Did we agree them? How much did they cost?" And I heard the bride say, it was rather wonderful, like she said, "Oh, they were Jeremy's idea." I thought, oh, yes, I'm into rose petals. I'm always recommending we have those. Anyway, I smiled innocently, and he said, "Oh, well, in that case, it's perfectly all right." I thought, I know I'm going to be used as the excuse for everything in that marriage. But they had a great attention to detail. There was a great sense of style. They were committed to the day being the best that it could possibly be. It was all sightly in the run-up to it, like the preparations for D-Day, I have to say. But on the day, it was worthwhile. The church looked great. When I met her at the door, she looked like something out of a film set. And the groom was emotional, even though he'd spent a whole year telling me, "I'm a boy, I don't do emotion," apart from at Twickenham twice a year. But when he saw her, even though he didn't do emotion, he was doing a pretty good imitation of doing emotion as she came up the aisle. They wanted the best, and they got it. And the Apostle Paul is saying here in these words, "I want the best for you, Timothy, and Jesus wants the best for you too." He wants Timothy not to miss out on the best in his relationship with the Lord Jesus and for the best in that relationship to shape his life. He doesn't want Timothy to look back one day at his life and regret that things hadn't been different. And he explains this to Timothy by using a very familiar picture from domestic life. Then, as now, most households would have had pots and pans and dishes of different kinds and of different qualities. In large houses of that time, there'd have been vessels of gold and silver, all for noble use. Those special occasions when people came to dinner, those family celebrations, getting out the best. And then there would have been elsewhere in the house normal stuff of earth and of clay and earthenware, which would have not only been cheaper, but would have been a much less quality and reserved for menial or everyday uses. And through this picture, Paul is saying to Timothy, you can be one or the other, gold or silver, clay or earthenware. And as we see in verse 21, we have a choice whether we go for the best in our relationship with the Lord Jesus or something the second rate. Verse 21, he writes about those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for noble purposes. An earthenware pot couldn't change itself into a silver one, but a Christian can make a choice about our response to the Lord Jesus Christ. The tense use of the word cleanse here speaks of making a once for all clear choice to be the best for Jesus Christ. I have a friend who's reached that stage of life where he and his wife, the children have got married, left home, everything's, you know, relaxed and tidy, just as they want it. He rather pompously said to me the other day when I went to supper, he said, we only use silver now, Jeremy. We've thrown the stainless steel away. I thought it was such a pompous thing to say. I collapsed into laughter. He was terribly offended. I said, you know, if you'd have said, you'd have heard someone else say that when 40 years ago when you were 22, you'd have thought, what a boring old pompous twit that is. Or what are you doing now? You're saying the same thing. Of course, you're not, I said, a pompous whatever. Anyway, but he'd chosen. It was extraordinary. I thought it was barking mad, actually. They kept one stainless steel knife and fork for the dogs, they told me. For a moment, I thought, how do their dogs eat? But then I realized it was chopping up the meat into the bowl. What would that mean in practice, though? Not the dogs, the Christian choice. What does it mean? Paul writes about that at the end of verse 21, when he talks about a call to be made holy, useful to the master, and prepared for any good work. Being made holy describes that serious discipleship where we can see our lives are different. When perhaps, when we're under pressure or facing temptation, we know we're reacting differently than we might have done in the past. When you're preparing a sermon, you try not to be too much of a hypocrite. So I thought I'd just look at how different I was over the last week when I felt under pressure than I would have been 12 months ago. And it was a very informative, if not altogether encouraging, moment. Where to go for that serious discipleship, where to be useful to the master. Someone who just says, Lord, tell me what you want me to do. Is it to pray for someone? Is it to talk to someone about you? Is it to give someone the time when they're under pressure at work? I just simply want to be useful. Being holy, useful to the master, and prepared for any good work. That describes a sense of urgency about the agenda of the kingdom. That time when we feel we long for people to be blessed. As that couple left and we're clearing up the church on Saturday afternoon, I thought, they're great. They're going to have a wonderful, if not uncomplicated, life. And I then thought, how many times have I talked to them directly about Jesus? I needed a greater sense of urgency with most people, seizing the right opportunities. But Jesus hasn't changed. He looks at you and me and says, I absolutely want the best for you. I want the best in our relationship. I want the best in your life. And where are we with that?